Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Check us out on YouTube. Who put the shows there? By the way, it's youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. And as you may know, I am a bit obsessed with Jasmine Crockett. I want her to talk more. I want her to be in our faces even more. Anything she says, I think, is good for the country, mainly because it tells everyone not to do what she's telling you to do. She's such a perfect messenger for the left, and I want that to continue. That's why we've created Jasmine Crockett 2028 t-shirts, merch, mugs. We want her to run. Now, there's a little slogan underneath that says Jasmine Crockett 2028 for Democratic nominee and nothing else. Or you're a racist. It's available now at StuDoesAmerica.com. Use the code Stu10. You get 10% off all of your Jasmine Crockett 2028 merch, which I think you'll like. Steve Dace is here, by the way. He's going to tell us about a book he wrote. The fact that he has to write a book to protect our kids from the left is sad, but he's done it, and we thank him for it. He'll be on to tell us about it. We also know a lot more about a man who tried to assassinate President Trump. We'll go over the latest there. We're going to start, though, by doing the L.A. illegal immigration riots. So much to cover on this today. Let's get right into it. Los Angeles police order immigration protesters downtown to go home. Lots of things are on fire in L.A., which is, you know, basically the normal state of affairs there. Of course, it's a little bit worse than normal. Let me give you some of the highlights. This is from Julio Rosas, who's there. He was on vacation, actually, in L.A., and then had to go and watch all of this go down. But here are some of the protests. This particular person taking a dumpster, which is contents are on fire, and wheeling it out into the street for some God who knows what reason. There is a little bit of an analogy here. The dumpster fire, usually not the thing you want to use to symbolize your movement, but that is a dumpster fire, that I will say. So much more, though, happened. We also have Border Patrol dealing with all these crazy protests. I'll show you some of that footage here. Driving down. They're quietly driving, trying to do their jobs. There's smashed windshield already in effect. If you listen closely, you can hear, things going on outside. But they're pretty silent inside because they can't believe what's happening to their country. This video goes on to show, you know, rocks hitting windshields and everything else. Terrible. U.S. Border Patrol agents also out trying to fight this as much as they can. Here they are. Here's the other part of the video, I believe. Imagine just riding with a gas mask in a car. I can't even do that, let alone what these guys do on a day-to-day basis. You hear flashbangs going off, gunshots, rubber bullets, rocks hitting vehicles and such all in the background. Tis a freaking mess, boys and girls. And we have people now throwing rocks at federal officials as they come by. I mean, this is insane. These people are speeding by at about 40 miles an hour, full as hard as he can, throwing rocks at the windshields, trying to, let's be honest with it about it, kill them. Because if one goes through the windshield and hits the driver, they're going to die. This is like a rock hitting you in the face. I mean, I can't imagine he's throwing over 50, but still, it's a rock hitting you at 90 miles an hour, if it comes in at least directly straight on. And luckily, no one died. But I would say, is that, let me ask you something. Is that what you'd call attempted murder? When you're doing something that could very well kill the person, I think there's at least a case to be made. And my guess is Donald Trump is going to have no problem instructing agents to make that case against that individual if they are able to find him. But of course, these brave individuals, these brave revolutionaries, are completely masked all the time, hiding their identities, just like the founding fathers or something. Waymo, you know, the central symbol of American immigration policy is Waymo, the cab company that has no drivers in it. Waymo halts service in downtown Los Angeles after his taxis are, set on fire. What happened was they were down at the protest and people said, hey, they started summoning Waymos down there so that they could light them on fire. And that's what's happened. A whole string of them there just, lit on fire. And I will say this. You may know this, you may not know this, but it is true. Burning Waymo cabs has nothing to do with illegal immigration. Has nothing to do with any of the causes that people out there were trying to support. It's just destruction of property. And of course, the actual thing they're trying to support is the destruction of capitalism. So destroying property is consistent with that goal. It's just not the goal that people say that they are actually supporting. Now, protests intensified in Los Angeles. Why? We are told because Trump deployed hundreds of National Guard troops. Now, that is, at the very least, a controversial of a statement to make. Certainly shouldn't be the headline of a news story, because there's no reason to believe that's actually the reason why. ICE agents, of course, did go and arrest people for a crime of being here illegally. I don't know what other crime we're just supposed to ignore, like we do illegal immigration. We're just supposed to ignore that one. You're doing something illegal, and we're just supposed to kind of sit back and say, oh, gosh, well, nothing's happening here, boys and girls. Look the other way. Whatever's happening here, you shouldn't notice. Nothing's going on here. Why? Well, let me think about it. Oh, I know, because this is a crime we don't like. This is something we don't want to be illegal, so you should just ignore it. There's no other crime that's like this. We don't protest in favor of committing crimes, typically. At least normal human beings don't, but the left seems to like it quite a bit. I'm kind of angry about that, to be honest with you. And I would also think that when you have a breakdown of society like this, of civilization, at least in this very small area, you could see being a little upset. You'd think you'd want the National Guard in there. Here's the thing. If you can't handle it, then the National Guard can come in and handle it for you. Okay? And that is at least a theoretical part of this process. But right now it is just theoretical because the National Guard has been sent in to protect federal buildings in this area where these crimes are going on. So far, and this is, I think, going to shock most people, so far, the National Guard has not even interacted with the protesters. The protesters, I'm putting in air quotes. The rioters. They haven't even interacted with them. All that footage where you see agents, you know, interacting with the police and they're throwing, you know, rocks at the agents. Those are not federal agents. Those are not the people that Donald Trump sent in. Those are people from the LAPD. Now, there are some other ICE officials that were there for various things. Some of them got caught up in this early on. But generally speaking, this has been an LAPD versus the people out there rioting, not a federal agent versus the people who are rioting thing. Of course, they're getting all the blame anyway. And that is because the left does the same thing every single time in these moments, which is take the side of the criminals. That's what they do. Every time, they take the side of the criminals. It's never a problem. I mean, look, there's a lot of different examples I could give you of this. I mean, certainly after October 7th, we saw a heavy dose of this. But there is a very clear pattern. When someone has committed a crime, they take the side of the criminal, unless it's, you know, a very particular incident. You know, like if there's someone who, was on the right, well, then they're very upset about the crimes. Like, they're very upset about the January 6th insurrection, as you know, quote unquote, insurrection. Here, not an insurrection at all. In fact, very, very normal. But just people protesting the way they were allowed to do in the Constitution. Remember that. This is just patriotic, what they're doing. That's what we're supposed to believe. Now, patriotism has a strange face in this particular incident because a lot of the patriots seem to be waving flags of other countries, which is a weird way to show your patriotism of the United States, but they're doing it like crazy. Mexican flag waving masked protesters becomes the symbol of LA anti-ICE riots. Perfect propaganda for Trump. And look, that is one way to look at this. I'm sure Donald Trump does not want to be dealing with an immigration riot in Los Angeles. I'm sure that's not what he chose to do and does not want to do. That being said, probably helps him quite a bit because the American people don't want to deal with a country like this. They don't want to deal with a country that's constantly falling apart and has all their stuff on fire all the time. Nobody likes that. I don't know why the left thinks people like it. The left seems to think people will move towards them. And occasionally it's true. We saw that in 2020. There was some, you know, movement pandering to the left by the media and such. You know, I don't necessarily think that's going to be something that's going to continue. It was much more widespread in 2020 than this is now. But I would not be surprised over the next few weekends. Usually this happens. when they get a bit of a thing going on in the media. These left-wing protest groups, which do this all over the country and are available to activate at any time, will go from place to place and start burning crap to the ground. And it's a question of how you're going to deal with it. How do you think Donald Trump's going to deal with that? With a soft touch? I don't know. I'm kind of doubting it. And I think that Trump likes the idea that more people are thinking about this issue. They like the idea. He likes the idea that his opponents are backing a bunch of people who committed horrible crimes, that some of the people, there's a bunch of people who got arrested in the ICE raid that had committed horrible crimes. People like Garcia coming back from El Salvador now. Like, I think he likes telling that story. He likes talking about some of the darkest parts of illegal immigration because it helps him. It helps his cause. And when the American people see their nation in trouble like this, they tend to rally toward the side saying, wait a minute, we don't want that. And I think Donald Trump knows that, especially when you look at these protests and what do you see? Mexican flags. Yeah, there's an American flag in this particular photo. Not too many of them out there, but there's been Mexican flags all over the place. Here's another with Mexican flag. You've got another Mexican flag and a deport ICE sign going on. Another Mexican flag. Just, I mean, this is kind of the whole thing. Viva la Mexico. Okay, look, here's the thing. Mexico's available. They got like lots of places to live down there. They don't really guard their border all that much. You can just go. If you want to be in, if you think Mexico's that fantastic, stay there or go there. They don't seem to care all that much about illegal immigration from America, probably because they think you have more money than the people that are coming across the border from their south, which they do care quite a bit about, at least if you plan on staying. That's something even their president has talked about many, many times, former president, who said, what do you do when people come across your southern border? We send back them. That's what they were doing. We send back them. That's what we should do in this situation. It's a fascinating thing to watch, though, because Mexico, very much available for you to go to at any time. And there's this bizarre thing that goes on with the left and the media where they say things are absolutely terrible for these immigrants here. We treat them terribly. We're scared. They're scared all the time. They live in this constant state of fear that they're going to be ripped out of their apartment, their lives, and thrown back across the border. Yet we're constantly also arguing for them to come here all the time. If it's so bad here, then just stay. Just stay. We're not asking you to come. The president's not asking you to come. If you're coming here illegally, don't do it. If you're coming here legally, fine. We're happy with that. There's, of course, footage all over Los Angeles because of this, including thousands of anti-ICE protesters in a march. We have that footage. There we go. Oh, look at that. Lots of people out there. What an interesting flag choice. In fact, it was odd. Some of the flags out there were very, very interesting. In fact, one thing you saw quite a bit of were Palestinian flags. If you look at this particular, there's a nice shot of a Palestinian flag. Now, stop me for a second, but what does this have to do with Palestine? What does it have to do with the Palestinian territories? I mean, I guess people in Mexico, people having Mexican flags in Los Angeles, there's a large former Mexican crew there, people with Mexican heritage. There are there, first generation Mexicans are there, some legal, some not, but there's a lot of people there. I could see how you might have a Mexican flag. But like, this was a spontaneous riot, right? Where do these people get Palestinian flags? Like, if I were to ask you right now, hey, by the end of the day, go get a Palestinian flag, how would you do that? I mean, I could go online and order one. That would take a couple of days probably to get there. Maybe I could get one overnight. Can I get one for a spontaneous riot happening right now? I don't think so. There's not a lot of stores that carry them that I know of. Why would they be carrying them in Los Angeles? If it was in Detroit, heavy population, former Palestinian, people sympathetic, maybe you could find a store that's selling you a Palestinian flag. But in Los Angeles? It's an interesting development, to say the least. I mean, it's possible, I'm just going to throw this out there, possible maybe it wasn't spontaneous. It's possible, just throwing this out there, maybe this was a well-organized protest by people with a very specific agenda that does agree with the Palestinians, but basically using Palestinians to get to a much larger goal. Here's another guy with a Mexican and Palestinian flag. He was kind of like one of the symbols of this particular day, and other than the burning Waymo cabs. But when I say these are well-organized protests, maybe, just maybe, people had different agendas, there are some people who can't help let that agenda slip, like this gentleman. He had a Soviet flag, which is interesting. Soviet Union, no longer a country, failed miserably. But people still want it to come back, because if it could only be tried the right way next time, it would succeed. That's the real agenda here, right? These, we went through a bunch of this on radio. A bunch of the organizations, you saw the signs. These are organizations that are far left organizations. They're organizations that are funded a lot of times by your tax dollars. And then you pay for riots and rallies against your own communities where they burn your cars, your businesses, riot, loot your stuff out of your stores, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not a good setup, I will be honest with you. And it's the type of setup that Americans will recoil from. And that is, of course, I think only helping Donald Trump. But this is just the main plot here. There are many subplots going on with this story as well. We're going to get to that here in a second. And so I got more on this. We also have Steve Dace coming up today. Big show. We'll get to more in just a minute. Millions of America take fish oil supplements every single day. They've heard omega-3s are good for them, and that's true. But here's the thing. Most people have no clue if their supplement is actually doing anything. I mean, if you think about it, has your fish oil lowered your blood pressure? Has it helped joint pain or stiffness? Has it reduced any inflammation whatsoever? For most people, the honest answer is probably no. Or maybe at the very best, which probably means no. So regular fish oil has some omega-3s, and that's fine. That's great. But Native Path and Arctic Krill Oil takes it to another level. This is what makes it a little bit different. Krill oil contains a powerful antioxidant that can produce real improvements, lower blood pressure, less joint pain, reduced inflammation. And Native Path is so confident you'll feel the difference. They're offering up to 66% off right now, plus free shipping, plus a 365-day money-back guarantee. You might say, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if I buy this, a lot of big promises. Understandable. They're giving you a 365-day money-back guarantee without, you know, you don't have to come up with some big excuse. You just tell them that, you know, it's not working for you, and that's fine. This is a special offer only available at nativekrill.com/blaze, nativekrill.com/blaze, nativekrill.com/blaze. Stop wondering if your supplement is working. Make the switch to something that actually delivers results. It's Native Path and Arctic Krill Oil, because feeling better beats hoping you might feel better someday. It's nativekrill.com/blaze.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
We're back to doing the LA illegal immigration riots. There's so much to cover. We talked about how there's multiple subplots here. So let's look at one of the subplots, which is leadership. We know California has terrible leadership, and they are doing the exact quality of a job that you would expect. LA Mayor, Trump deployment of troops is a chaotic escalation. Now, he didn't just send in troops for no reason. He saw the fires in the streets and the agents and police officers being hit in the head with rocks. That's why the agents were put in there. And really, just as a protective measure, as we mentioned, they have not really interacted with these protesters or rioters at all so far. But Karen Bass is there to make an idiot of herself, as usual.
And frankly, I'm just outraged, because what happened is that when ICE went in, they just took people away. And we just can't have this in our city. And it happened multiple places in the city.
Yeah.
And what it does is that it sows a sense of terror throughout the community. One location at a Home Depot, there was raids there. ICE was literally chasing people down the street.
Yeah.
And then later on today, there's a graduation a few blocks away. What are the parents going to feel? Are they going to feel that they can go to their kids' graduation, or they can't because they're not safe?
Can you tell us a little bit more about the conversations that you had? Were they with coworkers? Were they with family members? Any idea how many people were taken from here?
No, I don't. I don't know the numbers. I think under 50, but I'm not sure.
Under 50.
Because this is so recent, we're still trying to gather all of the data. But what I do know is that one of the presidents of our local union, USWW, David Huerta, was arrested here. Assaulted to the point where he's in the hospital.
There we go. Now you know what really happened. Some union officials were in trouble, so they were, of course, attended to immediately. I don't even understand that. Why? I honestly don't understand it. When other white people get arrested, I don't think, oh my gosh, I might get arrested tomorrow. That's not how it happens. That's not how I identify. When somebody down the street is, you know, I don't know, what's a good white person crime? Making meth. I watch too much Breaking Bad. Someone, you know, Bryan Cranston is making meth down the street from me. I'm not like, oh, gosh, the police are going to be here next. Because I'm not creating meth. That's how this works. Are you a criminal? Well, then, yeah, you're going to feel some terror because you don't want people to find out that you committed a crime. If you committed a crime by living here illegally, if you are here illegally, then, yes, you should feel some tension because you're not supposed to be here. And if we give you no tension, then it's not really a crime, is it? Now, I understand that's how our country has run for a long time. And for some people, it is tough, right? Like, you came here in a period where people were inviting you to come, and now we're saying, well, you can't stay anymore. But I'm sorry, that's just how the law works. It's creating terror in the community. It should, in the community of people who are criminals. By the way, Karen Bass came out with her first statement, which was like this trial balloon of like, oh, we will not stand for this. We will fight back. And then all the violence started. Then she had to release another statement. It was like, oh, but not like that. We swear we're not going to fight back by fighting. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been a worse mayor than Karen Bass. She's off to a really head start. Now, I will say Gavin Newsom was also a mayor. I mean, certainly he's a worse best friend than everyone else when he sleeps with his best friend's wife. So he's worse at that probably than Karen Bass. But was he a worse mayor? I don't know. It's close. This is what he said. This is exactly what Donald Trump wanted. He flamed the fires and they illegally acted to federalize the National Guard. It wasn't illegal. The order he signed just doesn't apply to California. It will allow him to go into any state and do the same thing. We're suing him. Not any state. It's almost like he's president of the United States or something. It would be terrible if he could go into any state. By the way, no one complained about this when it was happening during the Civil Rights era, because that was a crime there was a situation where we all agreed that, you know, it was really bad what the local officials were doing. So that it was okay for him to go in and for it said in the National Guard. Here, well, we all want illegal immigrants to be here or something. So I guess it's bad to send in the National Guard. Everyone was fine with it back then. Carolyn Levitt responded, Gavin Newsom says, Gavin Newsom did nothing as violent riots erupted in Los Angeles for days. Federal law enforcement officers were attacked by violent radicals and illegal criminals waving foreign flags because Governor Newsom was too weak to protect the city. The Los Angeles police chief has even said the riots were getting out of hand. President Trump has stepped in to maintain law and order and protect federal buildings. That's a good summary of basically what happened. Now, Newsom, of course, he's doing this back and forth thing. Sometimes he's a moderate where he's like, I just don't want women's sports to be ruined by men. That's me. Please vote for me. I'm a moderate. And then he's into I'm against Donald Trump tough guy mode, which is what he's, I think, flailing away at when he's attempting this here.
Get your hands off these poor people are just trying to live their lives, man.
Oh, I almost said the F word.
Trying to live their lives, paying their taxes, been here 10 years. The fear, the horror, the hell is this guy? Come after me, arrest me. Let's just get it over with. Tough guy. You know,
I don't give a damn.
This
is pathetic.
But I care about my community. I care about this community. The hell are they doing? These guys need to grow up. They need to stop. And we need to push back. And I'm sorry to be so clear, but that kind of bloviating is exhausting. So, Tom, arrest me.
That kind of bloviating is disgusting. Are you serious? After that statement, you're criticizing someone else for bloviating? That was like a terrible Joe Biden impression. That's what I'll take him out under the bleachers and I'll give him a punch on the mouth. Could that have been worse? I mean, legitimately, could that have been worse? That was probably the worst piece of political theater I've seen since Cory Booker's Tears of Rage speech. That's about as recent as I could do it. By the way, the media dutifully standing there saying, really? Really, Gavin? Okay, good job. Back to you. Doing absolutely nothing. This is the kind of coverage we got on this. Another subplot, the media. From Rodney King to Black Lives Matter, L.A. has a rich history of protest. Here's a look back. Oh, okay. And they go back to the Watts riots. Yeah, that was a rich, I think, a part of a rich history. Rich in that there's been a lot of them, sure, but I don't know that rich history is how they would describe it. The KKK has a rich history of racism. I don't think they use that term. When it's something they like, of course, that's how they describe it. Here is CNN talking about these protests. You're not going to be, you're going to be surprised to hear they're mostly peaceful.
So there's unrest. Let's start with there's protest, lawful protest, which is allowed in this country. There is some unrest,
right,
generally dealt with by local law enforcement. And if there needs to be state support through state police, and sometimes even National Guard under a governor's authority.
Lawful with some unrest. Don't let the unrest spoil the lawful. Of course not. And are you thinking, are these peaceful protests? Well, of course they are.
At this point, this has been very peaceful, Brian. It has been tense at some points, but we haven't seen any violence happening here. What people are saying is that they don't think ICE belongs in Los Angeles, that they want ICE out of the city.
Very peaceful, not just peaceful. Very peaceful, boys and girls. And of course, this might be my favorite one. This might summarize the entire thing beginning to end. If you want to understand how the media sees events like this, watch this clip.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
You get the chain of blame there. If we move the police in the improper way, we may disturb this group of people who are just having fun watching cars burn. Gosh, it must have been hot outside. How did they catch on fire in the first place? This is the insanity I'm talking about. We'll go over that insanity and so much more with Steve Dace. He's up next.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm joined once again by Steve Dace, host of the Steve Dace Show right here on Blaze TV. Also the author of the new children's book, Richie Meets the Rainbow, which I want to get into. There's a fascinating story behind this. We're going to get to this in a second. He's also got a new piece over at The Blaze, which is The Trans Pride Flag is Tyranny's New Banner. Steve, a lot going on. Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Good to see you, brother. How are you?
Pretty well. I mean, this country seems to be burning to the ground, so that's not ideal. Before we get into all the other stuff going on in the world, can you give me a minute or two on the developments in Los Angeles?
I think this is a clear test. I think that it's been remarkable, really. And so I give the president, Susie Wiles, the executive team there in the West Wing, a lot of credit for them to come out for the first 6 months of their administration and just dictate terms. I mean, every battle, even ones that they've lost, like at the courts, are areas, Stu, where the White House is on offense and dictating the terms. They're causing the argument. And you can see, based on a lot of the appointments they've made, the policies they're pursuing, you can see that Trump and his team self-scouted a lot over what didn't go right 4 years ago, and they're correcting it. Well, this is a chance to do one heck of a redo, because this, next to COVID, was the lowest moment of their presidency. I mean, the moment of the president basically fleeing the White House while tweeting law and order as it's on fire out there on Pennsylvania Avenue, just was kind of a symbol for just, you know, a what kind of year in 2020. Well, they're trying the summer of love again, Stu. And I think normally I'd say these blue states at this point, let them choke on their own vomit. They earned it. and the rest of the country just move on. But I think it's pretty clear that this is a test case to test the president's resolve. I think the intent here is, if they don't hammer this and drop the hammer and nail this down, is to make him look weak by having it spread. So I think they need to make an example and a harsh one out of what is currently going on in LA. And I think if you want to fly a Mexican flag and you want to act like a foreign invader, I think we ought to treat you accordingly.
Mm. How did the American people react to this in the end? Do they see this and are horrified by it, or are they going to side with the people carrying the Mexican flags all over the place?
Well, the number one thing the American people hate is weakness. All right. They no matter who's in power, you go back to the Obama years, you know, John Boehner go down there in the years of the Tea Party pretending to negotiate. He'd come out on his own in the driveway, realizing he just negotiated against himself. And all he did was make Obama stronger. People respond to strength. And so I think the White House needs to understand, Stu, that everybody who would be offended at them putting this down is never voting for them, no matter what they say or do. And in fact, the president saying things like law and order and insurrection, these are people who say words are violence. So it's like he literally sent Marine snipers in there to just unload, scene they cut from Michael Douglas's Falling Down. All right. So since you know your enemies are going to treat you like this, whether you do anything or not, you need to understand the normie voter hates this stuff, wants to know that they can travel and send their kids out to play and live in a safe country. And they're watching this. Do not look weak. Do not fall. There's no nuanced approach to this whatsoever. I'm not saying go in there guns blazing and be cavalier, but this is about showing strength and putting this down. And I think the intended audience of people who are going to overreact to this are never voting for us no matter what we do. That's part of the setup. And so I think the president needs to show strength, because the normie voter, I think, has shown they'll respond to that.
Well, we're always happy to welcome a Falling Down reference on this particular program. So thank you for that, Steve. That's a classic.
You bet.
Let me go to another classic here in the making. You have a new book out. I don't know if I can actually say that. I don't know if the book is actually out. It's called Richie Meets the Rainbow. It's a children's book. Can you kind of talk, before we get into the details on how someone could get it, if they could, tell me why you decided to write this book?
Well, you know, my producer Aaron was just joking around about this time a year ago. You know, you should do some kind of a pride book, a quote unquote children's book, kind of mocking it. And the light bulb went off as soon as he said that, you know? And so I actually went home that night and kind of wrote out a loose outline and then worked on it for the next few months from there. And what you have now is the finished product, Richie Meets the Rainbow, a heartwarming tale of childhood enlightenment. And Richie goes to school and finds what is all too common nowadays. He's got the rainbow fisted teacher with the blue hair and the nose ring who is there to indoctrinate them, and why rainbows now have six colors instead of seven. Except Richie has a secret weapon, Stu, that most young people in our schools don't have. Dad. Mm. He's got a dad. Okay. And so he goes home and he mentions this to his dad. And instead of saying, "Shut up, son, I'm watching the game." All right. Dad says, "You know what? I can pause the game, son. And here at dinner, let's have a discussion about this." And he puts little Richie on his lap and he grabs this best-selling book. Maybe you've heard of it before. It's the greatest bestseller of all time, the Bible. And he walks Richie through the true story of the rainbow and lets him know. He wants his son to know that, quote, unrepentant savages have co-opted this with the intent of brainwashing him and future generations. And he's going to do something that is also not very prevalent in today's culture. His dad's going to get active and going to be a constant force at the school board meeting to make sure those kids, the voiceless, have a voice in him and set the example. And so, you know, that's how Richie is saved from the demonic school system, is he's got this thing that we used to have in our society, ample supply of them, in fact, called a dad. Mm. Who actually acts as one. And so that's kind of the story. It's really, it's written like a children's book. It is really meant for adults to truly understand what is going on and to encourage dads to be worthy. I think the same thing applies to our dads that I just said about the Trump administration, Stu. I mean, if you're not a communist, they treat you like you're a fascist, racist, misogynist, xenophobic, homophobic bigot anyway. So you might as well at least earn their scorn by standing up to them, because they're going to hate you whether you do or not.
Right.
And so in this case, dad earns the scorn and saves his son. And that's the story. Not surprisingly, there weren't a lot of people anxious to publish this. I had to actually publish this book on my own for the first time, despite I'm not Glenn Beck, but I've written a couple of bestsellers. This time was not easy to find a publisher. I had to go to Hungary, Stu, to hire an illustrator that would actually draw this book for me. Not a lot of people, even on the right, anxious to tell this story, which probably tells you one of the reasons why we're in the position on the right we're currently in. And then we got it done and Amazon approved it. But I had a sneaking suspicion they were going to try to stifle it. And so we did a limited run of hardcover editions that I personally autographed to help pay my company back for the investment to make the book. It was supposed to go on retail last Tuesday. And once you know, at 6 a.m., Amazon woke us up with an email saying, "Yeah, not so fast, my friend," except it wasn't Lee Corso, it was Jeff Bezos, brother. And here we are. We have no idea. And here's the thing. If you're not on sale on Amazon, you don't matter. It's where 86% of all books in America are sold. So we're still waiting for them to give us approval. It may be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be never. As it stands right now, I cannot sit here and tell the audience that this book will ever actually go on retail.
Yeah, it's weird to say because it's a great book. You did a great job with it. The pictures are really bright and colorful. It's a great story. I think it would work for adults and also for kids. I think, you know, reading this with your kids would be great as well. And I'd love to tell people to go buy it, but currently they can't because of all of the blockage you've put in there. Now, I know a lot of times Amazon will come back and say, "Oh, look, we're sorry. It took too long. We'll get that up." And they'll say that there's no agenda behind it. It was just a business problem or whatever. That's usually how at some point, if they end positively, that's how they end, which at this point I'm sure would be welcome for you. But do you think, are you surprised that you're still having these types of problems? It does feel like a different time than, let's say, 2020, where you would probably already been arrested and be in prison for writing a book like this. Are we making any progress?
We are, but I think, we still are, and I think, pardon the pun here, in transition on the right here, Stu. We have to accept that it's not 2005, let alone 1989. And all of these tech companies, from Amazon to Facebook, to all of them, even the ones that we like, controlled by Elon, that we like at the moment anyway, they all are essentially Standard Oil from 100 years ago, but with your personal data. All right, they're that level of untouchable. Instead of like one or two Standard Oils, we have five, and they all have your data. And there's no oversight. I mean, have you ever tried to go through the rigmarole of who to talk to be heard? When we did the autographed editions, GoDaddy shut us down.
Wow.
And it took 2 weeks, all right, of working essentially the pyramid scheme known as the GoDaddy flowchart to get to somebody who could actually make sure that GoDaddy actually released the funds that people gave us for us to send the book to them. So these companies are still largely untouchable, and we've got to get over this idea we're in a cold civil war, stew, and we got to get over this idea that corporations are neutral entities and neutral arbiters, and they're part of the free market and blah 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 blah. There are no more neutral spaces. There's no such thing as the secular. I can promise you that someone will always rule and something will always be worshipped. Okay. And I can also promise you that if my book had been called Richie Meets the Migrants, it would be on sale right now and probably actively promoted by the Amazon algorithm.
Gosh, you like to see the steps that I think we have seen. I mean, there was a story today about YouTube supposedly lightening up some of their standards on what they're going to let fly. And I feel like we get these stories, like a board is getting rid of DEI, and we see those stories filtering in. But I mean, this is not a battle that's even close to won, is it?
Maybe I am just uniquely problematic. Maybe everything's working out and I am just uniquely problematic. And if that's the case, not that my ego needed it, but I will take the boosting and take that as a great compliment. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Before we go, I want to also hit one more thing. The trans pride flag, related certainly. You have a piece out at The Blaze talking about how it's the new banner. And I will say, watching in Los Angeles, you did see a few of those flying around. I don't know what that has to do with illegal immigration, but apparently something very close, Steve.
We've got denominations in Christianity, and at times we really don't like each other, go to war with each other, right? Catholics and Protestants literally killed each other on the battlefields of Europe for a couple hundred years, right? Well, the Church of Hell has denominations too. Okay. Now, here's the thing, though, when there's a moment like the Muslims show up in Paris, like all the Christians set their differences aside and go to war to defend Christendom, right? Hell has its own church, its own denominations, right? We like to say things like, "Hell, I know you're claiming you're a queer for Palestine. You ever tried being a queer in Palestine?" And we act like that's some kind of gotcha. Okay. When in reality, they all know they're on the same team. And when it comes down to it, they close ranks, right? So the picture last week of the Egyptian illegal alien who is boasting over the scorched marks of the sidewalk that he caused with Molotov cocktails in Boulder, Colorado. Did you see what was over his shoulder at the government building right over his shoulder?
No, I didn't.
The trans flag right over his building. And notice Mr. Devout Muslim didn't aim his Molotov cocktail, Stu, at the tranny flag over his shoulder, brother. No, no, because game recognizes game, right? And they all know in the end that they're all on the same team. And that's why you're hearing, you're watching La Raza. It's waving some of the tranny flags too, because they're just all denominations in the Church of Hell, my friend.
Amazing. Steve, is there a place that people can go to, like, is there a newsletter or something they can subscribe to so they can know when the book actually comes out and is available?
Yeah, you can go. Thank you, Stu. You can go to the website, richiemeetstherainbow.com, R-I-C-H-I-E, all one word, richiemeetstherainbow.com. And you can go there. Maybe if you're bored and maybe one day, you know, maybe we'll put up a contest. Guess which day, you know, it'll come up for sale. And if you're closest, maybe get a free trip to Dallas and watch Stu do his show or something, maybe.
Wow.
richiemeetstherainbow.com. That's richiemeetstherainbow.com.
Okay, go there and also follow Steve on social media. I'm sure the updates will be posted there as well. Steve, it's a new piece over at The Blaze, The Trans Flag. The Trans Pride Flag is Tyranny's New Banner. Of course, the book, richiemeetstherainbow.com. Check that out as well. Really appreciate you taking the time, Steve.
Thank you, Stu.
As we were just talking about, life throws curveballs. Sometimes things change. You don't know what's going to be around the corner. Moving homes might be the biggest change as far as this goes, because when a big change happens, you're changing homes. That just adds fuel to the fire, right? Like, things are completely out of control at those moments, and they feel out of control. Process alone breaks people. Mountains of paperwork that never ends, endless hoops to jump through, time demands that crush your normal schedule, all while making the biggest financial decision of your life. No big deal. Don't worry about it. If you get it wrong, of course, the damage lasts for years. If you overpay and you watch your equity disappear, that's a nightmare. If you undersell and you leave money on the table, that's a disaster as well. Stakes this high demand expertise, not, you know, weekend warriors, not agents who are learning on the job for your biggest investment. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. This is where you go to get the top selling agents in your area. Team leaders know every corner of the market. Professionals who close deals when others fold. They understand pricing strategies that work. They solve problems before deals collapse. They negotiate from strength because they've done this hundreds of times. These are agents that earn trust through results. And that's what they do for you. Buying or selling, get it done right. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. The name says it all. By the way, it's a free service to you, so why not take advantage of it? It's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. One of the strangest things that's happened since the potential almost assassination of Donald Trump back in the day was really little information as to who the criminal was. There is probably the most information we've got came from a piece in the New York Times this weekend, the quiet unraveling of the man who almost killed Trump. They got a hold of his internet search records somehow from his college. They got a hold of a bunch of different things. I wouldn't say it gives you this, like, you know, big grand conspiracy of what this guy's thought process was, but it did give some interesting details and did move the story forward a little bit. A couple interesting ones. December 6, 2023, about 7 months before the shooting, crooks rapidly cycled through about a dozen news websites, including CNN. So blame CNN for this. The New York Times and Fox News before visiting the Trump administration archives log show. Minutes later, he visited several gun websites, including one focused on AR-15. The next month, he placed a $100 order for more than 2 gallons of nitromethane. This continued. His dad talked about his mental health. Like, he was like dancing in his room by himself a lot and talking to himself, and they were noticing kind of things going out of control, but nothing violent at that time. He had been a good student up to this point. It had been someone that people, generally speaking, seemed to like, although he was sort of a loner, sort of a nerd. About a week before the shooting, Mr. Crooks's internet searches became especially focused, the FBI said. On July 6th, he registered for Mr. Trump's rally at the fairgrounds and searched how far was Oswald from Kennedy. In the remaining days, he looked up where Trump would be speaking on the site. After the shooting, they also have some of his text messages. And someone texted him after he was after the shooting had already occurred, said, "Hey, Thomas, you weren't the person who tried to shoot Trump and then got killed, right? I really liked you as a friend, and I desperately don't want you to be dead." Which is an interesting message if it wasn't you. I mean, just be like, "Well, yeah, thank you. I'm glad you don't want me to be dead." But really, some interesting color there. I don't think it brings us to a conclusion of this story. I don't think we have the whole story yet, but at least advances the story a little bit. It's available at the New York Times. Okay, so here's what happened. Bucky's is a convenience store here in Texas, I guess some areas around here, but it's like the greatest convenience store of all time. It's like Walmart sized. It's incredible. It's like the greatest place of all time. And they're in a lawsuit now with another company. They're suing a company over their logo being infringed, and they are suing this company over a logo that shows their Bucky Beaver seemingly armed. This is called Born United. I mean, it seems to be like a kind of conservative company. I will say there are some similarities in the beaver. I just looking with my eyeballs, it does seem to be a similar beaver, although this beaver is packing. And I don't think it's necessarily bad. I've been at Bucky's before where I've been very annoyed at how long the lines are or something. And I wish there was an armed beaver around, but unfortunately not usually there. I will say our merch, we're not stealing any of our logos from anybody, I promise you. It is at StuDoesMerch.com. The Jasmine Crockett 2028 merch is up. I want her to be the Democratic nominee, not win the presidency, obviously.